WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. It's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going to be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening. You are indeed tuned into Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD, the home of good conversation. That's what we do here from 6:15 to 8 o'clock is provide you with good conversation with an assortment of guests. And this evening, we're going to try to cram in more than the normal. Normally, I strive for 4, maybe 5 conversations. We're going to have probably about 5 or 6 guests this evening, starting right after traffic with Renee Hamilton. We'll kick things off with Shirley Azak. Actually, not Shirley Azak. We're actually going to have Rita Mendez. We had Shirley Azak on last week. If you remember, we kicked off the show. She is a ward council running for the open 11th Plymouth District state rep seat. Well, so is Rita Mendez. So we will speak with Rita about her campaign for the same office. Right after that, we're going to speak with Kate Delaney. Kate Delaney is a national broadcast personality who has won herself an Emmy and several Golden Mics. And I don't know if this weekend you had a chance to catch the Masters. Usually, prior to Tiger, I probably wouldn't watch golf. I would probably put golf on a Saturday or Sunday if I need to take a nap. But with an upstart like Tiger, a lot of excitement with Tiger Woods up until some of his recent issues. Most recently, 14 months ago, in a car crash that nearly took his life, nearly had his leg amputated. Back out on the links this weekend. While he wasn't successful, didn't have his best tournament, folks were appreciative that he was indeed back. So we'll speak with Kate Delaney about that. We'll check in with Peter Brown. Peter Brown, Tiny and Sons Glass, one of the premier sponsors of Monday Night Talk. We'll catch up with him as to some of the things that are going on. Peter he's a man who wears many a hat. He's got one head, but many hats, volunteered with so many different organizations, whether it's one of the local chambers, whether it's Talk Information Center, the Pilgrim Hall, you name it. He's involved in so many different things. We're going to talk this evening just a little bit about a Meet the Candidates night that's going to be coming up, being sponsored by the Pembroke Chamber of Commerce, to be held on the 26th of April. So we'll do that. And then hour number two, we'll speak with Brockton Mayor Robert Sullivan. Mayor usually joins us from time to time and gives us kind of an in-depth look at some of the things that are going on in the city, whether it's political ongoings, whether it's new developments, to the latest issues that the city is dealing with. We talk about it all. This evening, we'll actually touch upon a trip he took to our nation's capital last week, where he went down to speak with some federal officials about some infrastructure needs. We'll get the details about that. As also his, you know, I'm sure folks have seen in the news, everybody's having issues with being able to fly a certain airline. Well, the mayor had the same similar issue. He actually had to take a train up to Massachusetts from D.C. because there were so many cancellations with a particular airline. So he'll give us details on that. And then finally, we're going to talk with Victoria Bond and Scotty Kippenhan. Now, Victoria is the president of Rogue Theater Company. Not only is Rogue Theater Company going to be putting on Auntie Mame, but they're teaming up with another theater company that we've had on from time to time, True Repertory Theater. And Victoria's going to give us details as to why this particular play, why this performance or production of Auntie Mame is so special and so important to her. I've also been told that they're also going to perform a little bit of, they're going to perform a scene for our audience here this evening. So very special. The other thing to keep in mind also is that this production of Auntie Mame, some of the proceeds are actually going to be going to a local hospital. We will get the details on that from Victoria herself. So we look forward to that.
Hey, it's Geoff. That's what my friends call me, Geoff, 6'1", 190. I grew up on the South Shore and now I live on the South Coast. Trust me, I'm not the person you think I am. I'm just like you. I have two little girls that are the same as yours. My wife and I go to work while they go to school, just like you. We watch reality TV and participate in social media, just like you. Mal keeps the books while I move things, pick things up and put things down. Our friends are just like us. We all just want to live, work, and play freely. Thank you to the brave men and women who gave their lives. Thank you to the brave men and women who are currently giving their lives. Thank you to the brave civil servants that are serving our country every day. Thank you to the truck drivers and all of the workers that keep this country going. You are my heroes. You are amazing. You keep doing what you're doing, and we'll keep doing what we're doing. As long as we can, forever and ever, until death do us part. Like you, we stand with Ukraine. Like you, we stand for freedom. Our hearts and our prayers go out to all the people around the Ukraine. Godspeed. This message was brought to you by Brennan's Smoke Shop.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
We return for more Monday Night Talk. Our guest for this segment is Rita Mendez. Rita is an at-large counselor for the city of Brockton. And she is now a candidate for the open, I think it's open, 11th Plymouth District State Rep seat. And when I say it's open, it's because the state representative who was serving in that position, Claire Cronin, is actually now the ambassador to Ireland. And there was a big ceremony in the House, and she is now over serving the United States in Ireland. And so there are folks who are running for the office come start 2023. It'll be a redistricted. My understanding is that it will no longer be part of Brockton, which I think is like the Ward 7 and Easton. But in fact, it's going to be mostly, it's all going to be, the whole district itself will be a good chunk of Brockton. So Rita, welcome to the program again. I think you've been on this radio program a couple of times before. Am I correct?
Yes. Hi, Kevin. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here. And I have been at the program before. It's always so much fun. I've been with the other counselors, with Councillor Falwell, talking about the city of Brockton. I know you champion the city of Brockton. You always have the mayor on. So we really appreciate all that you do, really providing good information to the residents of not only Brockton, but throughout Plymouth County. So it's always so much fun.
So you are an at-large counselor. At-large counselor means that you field calls from folks all over the city of Brockton. So what was it that was intriguing for you to say, I think I want to serve my city, but I want to do it now on the state level? What made you want to run for state representative?
That is such a great question, because when we run for an at-large, it's It's actually a big city. It's over 155,000 residents. So it's a big city, and I've been able to successfully run that race. And this time, past time around, I actually topped the ballot. But I never make any promises that I cannot keep to the residents. And I think they appreciate that I'm always honest and upfront and really tell them as it is. So when you are an at-large counselor or a counselor in the city, you have limited things that you can do. But when you are able to step up to the next level, then you can negotiate and start actually working for the city of Brockton, bringing in the funding. So that way, those services that you wish to see implemented will be able to take place and actually work to make some real changes in the city. So I'm so excited about this. I can't wait. The journey is fantastic. Now I'm super happy.
What have you heard from residents who have heard that you are now a candidate? Is everybody heralding you as, you know, someone that they want to see go up to the state house? Because, you know, it's, you know, you want to be met with open arms by folks, by voters.
And that is a great question. People worried about what endorsements have you had. I run grassroots campaign, and my endorsement is from the residents, the voters, the people that are going to elect me and put me in that office in this position. So I am currently working very hard with the Ward 2 City Council, which is Councilor Tavares. She's pretty much running my campaign in Ward 2, which is highly Cape Verdean. Haitians, it's a huge population. It's really a majority minority district. So that is super excited. They're super excited. People are just so like, when are we going to get out on the streets? When can we start door knock? I said, it's still cold out, and they're going to get tired of us by the end of this campaign. So we got to take it slow. But people just can't wait to get started, to go out there and start door knocking and spread the word. So I do think the residents, the voters, they are very motivated. I've been feeling that already. And now I think COVID, it's passing. People are coming out. Events that I've been going to, it's packed full. We don't even have a place to sit, which is awesome. So I do think that this is exciting. People are excited. They can't wait to get out.
What do you see your role as a state representative being? What are some of the things you mentioned as far as funding? What will you look to champion when it comes to funding for your city?
Brockton is a place that it's going through so many amazing progress. You see the downtown area. You see so much that we've been able to accomplish, but there is so much more. We have the businesses in the downtown, and with COVID, we had all these grants and applications. But these business owners, they are great in cooking their food. They are great in serving their customer, whether it's hairdresser, whether it's mechanics. But when it comes time to filling out these grants, getting approved, they have issues on how to upload a document and send it in. Or you do all that for them, and then they send emails back. They never receive the emails because they don't check, and they get denied. We really need a centralized location where these business owners, they can go and receive assistance on how to get approved for these grants and not missing out. A lot of them are missing out, not because they don't qualify, but not following up. We're dealing with a community that it's great on what they do, but really find issues on doing paperwork and payroll, bookkeeping, EIN number. So we're dealing with very basic things. Another thing with the schools, I've been going to these schools and speaking with the kids now that I am allowed to actually go into an actual building for a public education building, which they're actually in schools. And really kids, their family speaks another language at home, to hear my story, who I am and where I came from, and continue on your studies. I know you feel like you need to go to work to help out your parents, but prioritize yourself, your school, your education, your status, because this is the land of opportunity if you put in the effort. So that bilingual program, we really need to help the kids so they can have that vision that they're in America and they can be successful entrepreneurs, adults to really contribute to society. So I'm excited to really help in the most basic things in people's life, but to really make their lives better and to thrive in the city of Brockton and beyond.
You mentioned schools. One of the key, you know, any state representative that I speak with around the South Shore, around Plymouth County, one of the concerns, one of the things that we ask them during political forums is local aid. What is your plan in regards to trying to secure more local aid, especially when it comes to Chapter 70 funding for schools, Chapter 90 money for roads? We know that folks want to see their roads paved. What will you do? What will you do as part of the legislative delegation of Brockton to secure that funding?
I am an attorney, and as part of being an attorney, you have to negotiate agreements. I'm also a real estate broker. I've been selling real estate since out of high school, and that's how I put myself through school. That's how I put myself through to where I am today. And after when the market crashed in 2008, that's when I continue on to go back to school and become an attorney. So I can negotiate contracts. I have that legal background and experience, and it's always a compromise. You have to be someone that will be able to go across party line, work with the Republicans, the Democrats and the like, and really make them see the vision that the city of Brockton need these types of services, because it's a different type of community. We're the only one in New England that really is the majority minority city. So we really need these special, extra special services. So we need more funding, more money. And we have to be creative too on how do we increase the funding for the city of Brockton. We have to provide ways where we can increase funding in order to bring more money. So I'm excited once I get in there to make sure I knock on every other legislator's door and introduce myself and say, me, Rita Mendez, I represent the city of Brockton and I'm here to work with you. So tell me about your city. Tell me about your town. So I'm sure we can find common ground here. So this is what I want to tell you about the city of Brockton. As long as we start working together, we can do so many great things. And I'm looking forward to do that.
You're just tuning in. We are speaking with Rita Mendez. Rita is an at-large counselor in the city of Brockton, but she is also a Democratic candidate for state representative. This is the 11th Plymouth District, which when it's elected in November to start in January, it's going to be a new district per se, as they've done a little bit of redistricting during the past year, and a lot of the Commonwealth has undergone that, and a lot of folks are being elected or reelected are going to see differences in their district. So this is not a new thing. What other issues, other than funding, what are some of the other issues that you're looking to tackle as a prospective state representative, whether it's something that affects your community, whether it affects your district, or something that you feel that the state, it's on the state level?
Yes. And that's an exciting question, too, because transportation is also another big issue. I get calls from a spouse that tells me, my wife, she has disabilities and she takes the bus, but they won't even go to Easton to take her to her specialists and doctor's appointment. She can't even go to Stoughton. So I am the only sole provider and working person in the household in order to provide for my family. But now I'm taking all these days off in order to take my wife to her doctor's appointments. So transportation is a key. If I am on the transportation committee, I really wanted to take a look into that and see how we can benefit our residents so they are able to get to and from to work and be able to have the transportation, not just in the city of Brockton, but to the surrounding towns and expand a little bit more. So that's something that people have been calling me on. Another one is the father called me and says, my daughter, she's 3 years old. I can't really get the head start because I'm on the waiting list. And then she can't really go start pre-K until she turns 5. Now, my wife is at home because she needs to take care of our daughter. But we live in a place where both parents need to work in order to be able to provide for the family, because just one person working this day and age is not enough to provide for their family. So we have that going on. So there are things that that can be done, that should be done, that really needs to be looked at and at that level in order to help our community and our residents. Yes.
As a city councilor, you already kind of know what it is to provide constituent services. When someone calls you and says, I have this issue, I have this problem, whether it's a pothole in the street, whether it's an issue at a school, whether there's something to do with the DPW, whatever it is, all 11 counselors get calls. How do you see dealing with constituent services on the city level and being able to do so on a greater level at the state level?
So when you first run for a council at large, they trick you. They're like, oh, it's just a part-time job. And you actually believe it until you're in office. And they also trick you. They're like, they only call their ward council. So the at-large don't really have a whole lot of work to do. That's also a myth and a lie. And I get calls from all over. And I don't tell them, oh, by the way, your council is so-and-so. Call them instead. I don't do that. Because I think if they picked up the phone to call me, they trust me in order for me to be the one to help them with that issue. So I will do what I can. So I'm also in a traffic commissioner, and I had a constituency that called me to state that where he lives, there's a lot of car accidents and that really needs to be looked at. I take it over before the traffic commissioners, and now we get the report for the past 5 years, and I get 122 pages of police report for car crash in that intersection. Now tell me, we have to wait until a resident, a neighbor that lives in that street to be able to be brave enough to finally bother him to the point that he picked up the phone to call me in order to address a serious safety issues that we have 122 pages report? I just think that's crazy. We need to be stepping up and doing that work and really looking and analyzing the data of these dangerous intersections and take it up with the state. We need more funding to do this. We need you to come send your engineers and assess these traffic lights, because we need to put something here. We need to keep our residents safe. So when I saw that, I was like, what? So things like that.
So you're big on constituent services.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess you noticed that by now.
I do. You're very passionate. Probably one of my final questions, one of two final questions, and that is there something I haven't asked you about your run for state representative? Maybe there's an item, maybe there's an issue, or maybe you just want to restate something as we get ready to close out our segment with you.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me here today. When I first decided to run for office the first time, I had no idea what I was getting into, but I've always been very involved and active in my community, really helping out, whether it was translation services, whether it was like pro bono legal services, and being able to take that representation to a higher level. Just having the residents of the city of Brockton trusting me enough to represent them in the local level, in the city level, and now taking that up to the state level, I just feel so honored. I'm here to listen. I don't mind criticism. I think they are valid. I listen to them and I try to correct them, because I do think if someone is calling you, even if they are angry, it has some point there. So I like to really listen and try to see how we can help our residents. And I'm here to work for the city full time. And I'm passionate, as you see, and I can't wait. And the journey of campaigning is fantastic.
If folks want to find out more about your campaign, maybe they want to reach out to you, talk to you more as a candidate, or they just want to get involved, how can they do that?
Yes, please. We need volunteers. We need people to come out and help. My website is Rita Mendez with an S, MENDES.com. And my cell phone number is 508-577-0083. Call or text. is fine, and I'm available.
Rita, counselor, I want to thank you so much for joining me. Definitely best of luck on the campaign trail.
Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. That's it for this segment. And we'll be back with more in just a moment. You, of course, I tuned in to Monday Night Talk, heard here on 95.9 WATD. Stay tuned for more.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Are you worried about your drinking?
Or is someone else worried about your drinking?
Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
There is no shame in living with a disease called alcoholism.
Regardless of your age, employment, or any other circumstances in your life, you deserve help from other individuals who understand what you are going through. Alcoholics Anonymous is here for you 24/7 at AA.org. Find online meetings at AABoston.org.
The pandemic is over and life is finally returning to normal. It's time to return to McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman. Come enjoy Shepherd's Pie, a pint of Guinness, and one of the best pizzas you'll ever have on the South Shore. Play Singo Wednesday nights at McGuigan's or listen to the live entertainment every Friday and Saturday night. For comfort food with an Irish pub atmosphere, go to McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street in Whitman Center. And check out the patio at McGuigan's next door at 552 Washington Street.
Quirk Kia Marshfield, offering the same great customer sales and service you expect from a Quirk dealership. Go in, browse their well-stocked lot, and drive home in a brand new Kia, like the 2022 Kia Forte for as low as $20,740. And the Quirk service department will be available to you for the lifetime of your vehicle. Quirk Kia Marshfield works for you. Quirk Kia, 923 Plain Street, Marshfield, just off Route 3 at the new exit 27. Visit QuirkKiaMarshfield.com.
Quirk works to save you.
Hey! This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Did you have a chance to watch the Masters this weekend? A chance to catch a few rounds of golf? Well, joining us to chat a little bit about this weekend's Masters tournament. You probably don't know who Scottie Scheffler is. He's the number one golfer in the world. But I think people were more watching for the return of Tiger Woods. And joining us is Kate Delaney. Kate Delaney, an award-winning national broadcast personality of more than 20 years in radio and television, Emmy Award winner, also has 3 books out. Kate, welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Kevin, anytime. It's always fun to be on with you, and I love that you're talking about the Masters, and I call him Scotty Superman. I've interviewed him a couple of times, and he's just this classy, low-key guy, and it's been wild to watch his rise and the kind of year he's having, because not only does he crush the Masters, but he also ends up, he's number one, and he wins a huge paycheck, unbelievable. And then Tiger Woods, you said it. It's great to see him back. He didn't do what we thought he could maybe do, but he almost lost his leg, so it's amazing that he competed.
Yeah, it's interesting to, I wasn't sure if he would even make the cut. Did you think he was going to make the cut? Did you think he'd make it to Sunday?
No, I didn't think he was going to make the cut. I didn't. I just thought, I saw him like limping a little bit.
Yep.
His swing looked good. Well, he looked good on Thursday, and then he just collapsed a lot, obviously, on Friday. And you could see that there were, that where it was affecting him, right? And I didn't think, I thought he would just miss it, but instead he just made it.
Do you feel as though that this is the last gasp of Tiger Woods? That folks are happy to even if they're getting a shell of the Tiger Woods that we all knew? I mean, myself, day two, I was kind of hoping we would see that Tiger Woods who found his way up the leaderboard. He would creep up. Even if he was back by, 7 or 8 shots, he'd find his way into the final day and be competitive. What do you think? Is it the shell that we're about, or are we hoping that he returns to form someday?
Oh, I think I'm like you. I think we're hoping that he returns to what we saw in the past, or some form of what we saw. Because remember, it was just, 2019 when he won the Masters.
Right.
But then he had the horrific accident. And I do. I think that we You know, in this country, and you know this, Kevin, you and I have talked, and I love your show and your perspective, and I think that we build people up and then we just love these people, and then when they fall down and then they have a chance to rise again, I think we all love that kind of story in sports.
But what is it about the lore of Tiger Woods that we love? Is it that we've seen the Jordan Spieths, the Rory McIlroys, the ones who, you know, they flash in the pan. We see them and they're at the top of, of the golf rankings, and then they just plummet. Is it because Tiger had such staying power?
I think you nailed it again. I mean, how often do we see that? And the answer is, you said it, like, who knows Scottie Scheffler? I know him because I've talked to him a couple times. I'm such an avid follower of the great game of golf. But it's a who's who every week, usually. And somebody gets hot. Jordan Spieth is a great example. And then they come back down to earth. And then, they might rise up for another tournament or two. But he had such longevity. And we watched him week after week after week. And if you go back to, like, I'd have conversations with my grandfather about Arnold Palmer and how he had that staying power, or, you know, the Golden Bear. You know, you can name some of the greats of yesteryears. And Tiger was like that guy.
It's interesting because what I was going to ask you was, here we are, we see Tiger Woods back, 2022 has been the year of comebacks. We saw Tom Brady retire and then 40 days come back. We see Tiger Woods. Nobody knew if he was going to play another round of golf. He returns.
And we love a comeback story, right? I mean, the great example is Tom Brady. And all of a sudden, Tom Brady retires, and it's like, wait a second. How old is Tom Brady? Is it possible? And then, boom. You know, sure enough. And then even Aaron Rodgers, who was a few years younger, obviously, than Tom Brady, there was that of, okay, it looked like Green Bay Packers could possibly make it into the Super Bowl. They didn't, and now he's going to pull the plug. You know, even though they're two different stories, there is that comeback element, I think, for Aaron Rodgers.
I know you've covered your share of U.S. Opens. Are you hoping that we're going to see Tiger Woods at another major like the U.S. Open?
Absolutely. I would love it. I mean, it would just, people would be, it would just explode. He would be man of the year on the cover of Time magazine. Who knows? Absolutely. And I think it's possible. I don't think it's possible that he eclipses Jack's record. I don't think he's going to win enough majors, but if he won another one, I think it's possible, and it would be tremendous. And if it was the U.S. Open, are you kidding? That'd be great.
The one thing that concerns me watching him throughout the weekend, as you mentioned, was knowing that he was going through such pain and watching his final walk as everybody was giving him a nice round of applause for completing the weekend, was the pain and how he's going to be able to manage that. And if that is going to be either the key to his success or the key to him saying, I think I'm done with the game of golf.
Yeah, and look, it's like I said, and you know this, and he almost had his leg amputated. It was really, really, really bad. And I think there's part of him, because he's got a kid, Charlie, that has, from people I know that have seen Charlie up close, that has a really good chance to maybe walk in his father's footsteps because he wants to, not because he's really being pushed into it. And I think there's part of Tiger that the competitiveness, the legacy, all that, that's an eight in him, and the way that he can overcome, has overcome so much in his life. I think he wants to win another major, even if he feels that pain for Charlie, for his family.
You mentioned Scottie Scheffler. Do you feel, as somebody who's interviewed him a few times and you've watched his golf game, that he has the staying power, that he can be that golfer that energizes the sport? Because that's what Tiger did when he came on the scene back in the late 90s, he energized the sport.
I don't know if he would energize the sport or not. He doesn't he doesn't have a big personality, but he has a big game. And Jordan Spieth was somebody who was a big fan of his because, you know, he's there in the Dallas area too. And he would always say, you got to watch Scotty, you got to watch Scotty, and you wait and see, you wait and see. And he was right. I think he absolutely, in the role he's on, if he continues to win more tournaments, more people are going to talk to him, and he's going to become what I call more mainstream. So people who don't even know a lot about golf maybe get to know him. And the more you kind of transcend, because that's part of the key, the more you transcend the sport, the bigger you become, and the more you also get people engaged in golf who aren't normal, let's say, watchers of the game.
Final question that I'll ask again. We've been speaking with the great Kate Delaney and talking with her about Tiger Woods. What are you going to watch for the remainder of the golf season in regards to Tiger Woods or even Scottie Scheffler?
Well, I think Scottie's going to win some more tournaments. And with Tiger, let's wait and see what happens with him and what happens in the next time around for him. And I think if he has a decent go of it, he's going to keep trying that. But you brought up the point that maybe he'll decide the pain is too much and is, can I do this? Can I walk these courses? Can I do this over and over and over again? And I think he'll have a decision to make. But I do believe because of that competitiveness in him, if he can play and he feels like he can compete, he'll do it.
Kate, thank you so much for joining us. If you got anything on deck for folks to tune in and check you out in the next couple of hours or couple of days?
Sure. You know, the great place to find me is katedelaneyradio.com. I have a syndicated show. You can find me there around the country. And also, I have a book, Deal Your Own Destiny, where I talk to lots of famous athletes and how what they did you can apply to your life, and that's on Amazon.
We should definitely book you to talk about that book.
I'm on. I love coming on with you, Kevin, anytime.
There she is. Kate Delaney, our guest here on Monday Night Talk. We are going to step aside, and when we come back, I promise, more Monday Night Talk. Stay tuned.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
That truck, it pays?
What?
The bumper sticker on that truck says it pays.
Pays? Pays what?
I can't quite read it. Oh, it pays to stay way back.
Ah, what was that?
The truck, snapback or rock. Now I've got a broken windshield.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. It pays to stay way back. However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
We return back to Monday Night Talk, and joining us is a gentleman who is no stranger to the WATD audience, as he not only has been a repeated guest and a sponsor of this radio program, Tiny & Sons Glass, is one of our premier sponsors, but Peter Brown is somebody who has, I think he's been a guest co-host for Rob Hakala. I think he's done news stories about some of the events that have happened. We have a stage named after Tiny & Sons Glass for the Tuesday night show, Almost Famous. Peter Brown, the man who wears many a hat. We had him on. I think the last time he was on, we talked a little bit about Pilgrim Hall.
Yes.
Today he's putting his Pembroke Chamber of Commerce hat on just for a little bit. And he's going to talk to us about a fantastic event that is coming up during, I think it's during school vacation.
No, it's the week actually. It's
after,
the week after.
It's the week after.
That's yeah. Right. It's on the 26th. That's right.
How are you?
Good, Kevin. How are you?
We haven't chatted in a while. We need to talk more. You're so busy.
No, it's just been crazy. It's good. I have nothing to complain about. And business, the roads are just breaking windshields right and left. So we're trying to get them done. So
it pays to stay way back.
It does, and I do, and it's hard. because you get into the roll of traffic and the next thing you know, you get whack and that's it.
Yep.
So, but it's been good. So you mentioned the Pilgrim Hall Museum. Just to let everybody know, the museum is now open. There's some exciting exhibits that's going on. Donner will meet you at the front door. Stop by. You can go to the Pilgrim Hall Museum, and then there's like a whole area of restaurants. You can have lunch, dinner, whatever you want to do. So that's my Pilgrim Hall plug.
Excellent. I love it when you give a little bit of a plug, and it's off script. It's not anything that you know, it was anything planned, but our planned conversation is, again, being somebody who is very involved with a lot of the local organizations, you wanted to come on and talk a little bit about an event that's taking place on April 26th. You're right. It's the week after school vacation. This is going to be an opportunity for folks who don't know who they want to vote for in the Pembroke town election to meet the candidates, right?
Yeah, so the Pembroke Chamber of Commerce is going to hold an event at the Pembroke Library on the 26th, which is a Tuesday, from 6 to 7:30. And this is an opportunity to meet the candidates for selectmen. Actually, all the candidates that are going to be on the docket for the May election. And we have quite the amount of people that are running. And the whole idea of that networking event is we're going to give each candidate 5 minutes to speak. There'll be a networking opportunity in the beginning and a networking opportunity at the end, so they get to meet the candidates, try to find out what their platform is, and maybe hopefully we'll help them decide who they're going to vote for. And the Pembroke Chamber's been really trying the past year and a half try to revitalize themselves. It's an all-volunteer board. And we have Kyle Heine, our president. I'm the vice chair. We have Sarah Rizzitano that just came on from Hannah and Murphy Insurance. Matt Mullen, vice president of Rockland Trust in Pembroke. Kelly Lee from Bluestone Bank. And Andrew Sullivan from ProtectiveWire, to name a few, we're all trying to work together to get the chamber back up. And this will be one of our first events.
How important is it to help folks understand who their community leaders are, or the folks who are looking to become community leaders?
It's very important, especially now after COVID. And I can attest to this personally. I mean, we shut down basically for 2 years. I was doing 10 to 14 hours a week networking, and it all stopped. So it's taken a while to revamp that. And it is right now is where the town of Pembroke is at a turning point. And if you see the towns around us, you see, you know, Duxbury, you see Marshfield, you see Hanson, see Halifax, their public safety buildings are being built, their new libraries, Council on Aging. We're in the process of revitalizing the downtown. We've got the money to do the rec center. The shovel is shovel ready. We've got plans for a public safety building coming up in the fall. We've got plans for a DPW we're all working on. But we need people to come out and understand what's going on and get involved. Because for us to get funds from the state and federal, we need to have, you know, the business community involved. We need to be the private sector involved. And we need a good leadership team to go forward. And there's some really good people that are running for selectmen and some of the board seats. And this is an opportunity for the public to meet them and the business community.
And again, just to remind folks, again, this is happening on Tuesday, April 26th from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. It's at the Pembroke Public Library. If you don't know where that is, I'll give you the address, 142 Center Street in Pembroke, Massachusetts. This is your opportunity to hear what the candidates have to say, those who attend. Each candidate will be able to have 5 minutes to introduce themselves and briefly discuss what they hope they can accomplish if they are, in fact, elected. And then, as Peter said, there is going to be a follow-up with an informal network period that'll take place afterwards. So if you have questions for the candidates, you can approach them if you feel so inclined. Peter, as always, I want to thank you for joining us. I know you are such a busy gentleman, so for you to be able to come and chat with us is fantastic. Are you looking forward to the good weather to finally be upon us and for us to kind of be living a little like we did pre-COVID?
I can't wait. I told the guys in the shop, the mask mandate, we brought it back from the, we let them choose the days that they want to, it's up to them if they want to use a mask or not. But I just can't wait to open the doors and just be outside and just get over this, It's just been a long 2 years. And you can tell by the customers that are coming in, everybody's on edge. They're just, they don't know that the numbers go up, they go down. And with everything that's going on in Europe and, so it's constantly talking people off the cliff and reassuring them. But I think once the weather pops and people can get to the beach and do whatever they can do outside, it'll be awesome.
Well, the one last thing I would ask you is if there's anything else that's coming up in the near future or in the coming months for you to be a Monday Night Talk ambassador and come on out, come on and join us and share the updates like you always do.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Kevin. I need to get back out and start talking to people. And this is when I'm not out, this is an opportunity for me to do that. I really appreciate everything you do.
Well, we thank you for everything that you do. You are affiliated, associated, and support so many efforts, so many organizations. You are a true professional when it comes to getting the word out there and helping. So thank you for all that you do, my friend.
Thank you, Kevin.
There he is, Peter Brown with Tiny and Sons Glass, but also the ultimate volunteer, somebody who is involved with so many organizations and so many events that he has so little time to be able to join us. So when we were able to
I have all the time in the world, Kevin, for you.
As he says, he does come on and joins us at a drop of a hat, I might add. So we thank him. We're going to step aside. And when we come back, we have more conversation on deck here on 95.9 WATD. You're tuned into Monday Night Talk.
WATD FM Marshfield. WBMS Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
If you want to drink, that's your business. If you want to stop, that's for Alcoholics Anonymous.
AA is an inclusive fellowship of individuals all around the world. The one thing you need to ask yourself is, am I ready to do something about my drinking problem? For more information, literature, and videos about Alcoholics Anonymous, go to AA.org. To find a meeting near you, call 617-426-9444 or visit aaboston.org.
Gentlemen, you can easily find the best brands and fits for you without even trying. Just follow these simple instructions. Step 1. Shop somewhere that does all the work for you by customizing a selection for your taste and body. Step 2. Level up your closet with the best brands and fits with little or no effort. Not trying has never looked so good. Stitch Fix. We're so you.
Ah, Easter. The season for pink grass and chocolate bunnies. But Walgreens knows it's also the jelly beans taste like what season? Or how many baskets is too many season? Let Walgreens fill your baskets fast. With pickup in as little as 30 minutes and delivery in as little as 1 hour. Because if it's who hides an egg there season, it's Walgreens season.
This week, select varieties of Easter jelly bean candy bags are 2 for $6. Offer valid through April 17th with my Walgreens. Restrictions apply on offer and pickup and delivery. See Walgreens.com for details.
Be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Okay, welcome to the second hour of Monday Night Talk. Later this hour, we're going to speak with the president of Rogue Theater, Victoria Bond, along with Scotty Kippenham, and talk a little bit about a collaboration between Rogue Theater and True Repertory Theater as they're going to do Auntie Mame. But first, we're going to speak with the co-host of Monday Night Talk, That's only when he appears. One of these days, we'll get him in studio for an entire show. The one and only mayor of the City of Champions, number 50, Robert Sullivan. Mayor, welcome back to the radio program.
Kevin, good evening, and thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
We have a lot to talk about in a short amount of time.
We do.
I think we start things off with a trip you recently took last week to, I think, is fast becoming one of my favorite cities, the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. How was your trip?
Yeah, it was awesome. We, myself and the CFO, Troy Clarkson, who used to be the administrator for Plymouth County, and he's also the town manager in Hanover, town manager in Bridgewater, but he's been the CFO for a while now. So we took a trip down to D.C. It was really a mission to talk to the federal delegation. Had wonderful meetings with our Congressman Stephen Lynch, Senator Ed Markey, and we also met with Congressman Bill Keating. And some people might say, well, he's not your your congressman, but you know, we get water from Silver Lake, and so a lot of municipalities are in Congressman Keating's congressional district. But with Steve Lynch, he's always been a huge champion, and Ed Markey been huge champions of the City of Champions. So great meetings, talking about additional money, you know, in terms of infrastructure. A lot of the pipes underground here in Brockton are from the 1880s, Kevin. And as mayor, I also chair the Bat Bus Corporation. So I'm looking to see what federal subsidies we have for electric buses, both for Bat Bus and also for school buses here in the City of Champions. Just had a really, really great opportunity to speak to them. And then also Eddie Kelly, a Dorchester guy. He's the general president of the IAFF. He's president of International for America and Canada for all the firefighters. And he's just a great guy. So I went to meet the president and sit down and talk to him, and also went over to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. To my amazement, Brockton, the city of Brockton, was an original incorporator when it was known as the Brockton Chamber of Commerce. Now, of course, it's Metro South Chamber of Commerce, but had a great opportunity to speak to the individuals there. And also the GFOA, which we received the Distinguished Budget Award for 2 years in a row, which is historic, never happened before. So met with a woman named Emily Brock, who heads up that that entity as well. And lastly, Kevin, had the opportunity to meet the Cape Verdean ambassador at his embassy. And it was just a wonderful opportunity to talk about Brockton. And he knew a lot about the city of Brockton. So it was a whirlwind. But, you know, we were there to really achieve some productivity. And I believe it was achieved.
So basically plant the seeds for infrastructure needs. Was there any thought as to maybe the upcoming budget might be, or if there's any supplemental budgets within Congress that there might be some money bestowed?
Yeah. So the way that they work it on the House side of Congress, the 14th, which is just in 3 days, they can do their earmarks. And then the 22nd is on the Senate side for earmarks. And I know both Congressman Lynch and Senator Markey have truly benefited with their years of dedicated service as federal, you know, elected officials. So I am looking for additional money. I'm turning over every stone, right? That's my job as mayor. And of course, we have ARPA money. We have the American Rescue. And without their efforts, we wouldn't have that. But, you know, one example would be the Cosgrove Pool, which was built in the 60s on the east side of Brockton. And, you know, for a lot of people, that's the beach. It really is the beach for some Brockton residents. And I used to lifeguard there back in the day. So, you know, Senator Markey said he grew up in the pool in Stoneham, which is directly abutting where he grew up in Malden. So he concurs with that, how valuable it is to have an inner city pool. So, you know, we're projecting about $4 to $4.5 million to really retrofit and get that pool up to speed. So, you know, any money we can get from the feds that would offset our ARPA spending is something that I'm cheerleading right now, Kevin. So we'll see. You know, it's listen, nothing ventured, nothing gained. And the way it works in Washington is you have to be seen and heard. And so we were absolutely doing that.
Strictly business. Did you have a chance to get around, or were you there just from point A to point B to kind of meet and have your meetings and then come home?
Yeah, I mean, I did have the opportunity to see one of my college roommates who went to BC with me, who actually is an attorney down there. So I grabbed dinner with him, and it was funny. He was a classmate of BC with Troy Clarkson, and they didn't know each other. So I was able to introduce him, and I did pop into the National Gallery of Art. We were walking by the gallery, and I wanted to go in and get some gifts for my kids, but it really wasn't a sightseeing. I will say that everybody at City Hall asked me how the cherry blossoms were, but unfortunately, it was cold down there the week prior to me and a lot of prior to my appearing there, and a lot of them had already died, quite honestly. So I'll go back with my kids and my wife to see the sites, but I was really on a mission of work. And, you know, again, it was a great opportunity. Coming back wasn't so good, Kevin. My flight was canceled, and JetBlue on Friday canceled it. And they said that their earliest flight back to Boston would be 3 days later. So we tried to go to all the other airlines and also fly into TF Green, and none of those were going to be achieved. So we ultimately went to Amtrak, and we jumped on the Acela. So instead of an hour and a half flight back to Boston, it took us about 7.5 hours, but we got back safe and sound.
What was it like jumping on a train and you're kind of seeing things from ground level as you're going, what, 150 miles an hour?
Yeah, I mean, going through to see the skyline of New York City was awesome, you know. And then in Connecticut, you're going right past Westport. You're going through the oceans to your right when you're going back towards Boston, heading north. So, you know, it was great to see the sights. And you know, I know President Biden used to always take the train back to Wilmington, Delaware, and I always thought that was a haul, but you know, it really wasn't. I think from D.C. when we left Union Station to Wilmington Station was about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. So. It was, it was a little more relaxing, right, than driving. I'm not a big proponent of driving myself. I get a little anxious, 8 hours, 9 hours in a car, you know. So it was a good opportunity to kind of recharge. And I answered emails and worked the whole time back. But it gave me the opportunity to see some of the sites, which was nice.
I can attest to that because I actually reached out to you while you and Troy were on the train back. And that's how we were able to kind of set up our conversation this evening.
Yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, as luck would have it, in line at Reagan National, behind me in line when it was announced we were canceled were two retired Brockton public school educators, Linda Spiegel and Denise Lee. And I happen to know them both. And so we buddied up with them and they were able to jump on the train with us. And we all got back together. So it was, you know, it is a small world. There's no doubt about that.
If you watch us to tuning in, we are speaking with the Brockton mayor, Robert Sullivan. He's not only a guest, but a co-host for our segment. And segueing from talking about your trip to D.C. to some sort of exciting news, as you, the city of Brockton has a new top cop, but it's more than just a new police chief, correct?
Yeah. So we, you know, when Manny Gomes, Police Chief Gomes, retired, and Manny is truly a dedicated public servant, serving two different stints under Mayor Belzotti and then myself as chief, and just really a dedicated police officer and just a really good guy. When he decided to retire, I made a proclamation. Most mayors don't. They just choose their handpicked successor. I didn't want to do it that way. It's all about opening up and transparency. But I did make a pledge that it would be internal. I wouldn't go external. And we had five great applicants apply, had a hiring committee made up of law and HR and Chief Larry Sweeney, who I didn't know, retired police chief from Hanover. We brought him on to sit at the table as well. I wanted to get a police perspective. And we had Troy Clarkson. We had my CFO there as well. And, you know, it was really a good opportunity to hear from five applicants, then narrowed it down to three. And ultimately, Lieutenant Brenda Perez, she's the acting chief right now, and she'll be the permanent chief once it's ratified by the city council. And Brenda's just a special person, dedicated public servant, grew up in Brockton, went to Brockton High School, decades in the military service as well. And so to couple her experience of growing up here with her years of service in the military, her years of service as a Brockton police officer, I appointed her historically the first woman lieutenant in the Brockton Police Department. And now I'm proudly appointing her as the first female chief of police. Her parents came to Brockton from Puerto Rico, and her story is like so many other stories of Brocktonians, and we've always been really a diverse community. But I'm so excited. Her vision and my vision aligned perfectly. And, you know, I said to her the other day after she took the oath to be the acting chief, let's roll up the sleeves. We're going to work together and get this job done. And, you know, my goal is to have a really great community, a great city, and a great police department. And the men and women that serve every day, they serve and protect. I know many of them from my years of growing up in Brockton. I went to junior high and elementary school and high school, a lot of them. And I'm not a cop, but I thank God every day that we have brave men and women that serve and put that badge on. And, you know, Lieutenant now acting chief and soon to be permanent chief, Brenda Perez, is the right choice at the right time.
How important was it to have a panel
I know that in the past there have been mayors who have been like, oh, we're going to tap the, you know, the next in line and, you know, promise the next. The process was different. How important was it that this was vetted out with a group of folks? You bring in a veteran police chief, former police chief, to come in and be a part of the process. How important was it to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's vital. And I've done that in all my years as mayor and my previous professional years of serving as an attorney at another town. I just think it's truly valuable because, again, I can't speak to how other mayors do it. I know how they did it, and I just didn't think that was the right way. And it's not just for the police department. I'm doing this for other department heads as well. Right. I mean, having a hiring committee, I actually bring it down to when people want to be on boards and commissions. I have them send a letter of interest and a resume, and I vet them out, and we do an interview with them. And those are non-paid volunteer positions. I want to make sure, again, that people are doing it for the right reasons. And again, I'm thankful that we have dedicated employees on the city side and school side. And, you know, with Chief Perez, you know, really the sky's the limit. And, you know, surrounding yourself with skilled professionals on the police department or Fire Chief Brian Idelli. Brian's an awesome chief. And again, that was one of the reasons when I was in D.C. I met with Ed Kelly because Local 144 and the fire department in Brockton is a special group of people. And, yes. You know, we're going to have a public safety building, $100 million public safety building, which will have police and fire and IT and BEMA, Brockton Emergency Management, Kevin. So, you know, we have a talent pool here right now that's exceptional. And now we need to make sure we have the leadership to take it to the next direction. And we're going there and Brockton's really on the map. And you know that because of all the development going on as well. So things are happening right now in the city of Champs.
What would you say are some of the things that the panel and that yourself have realized about Chief Perez?
Well, I think, you know, her, nothing against the other people. I'm not slighting anybody because, right. Again, they're a total of five people and a really, really dedicated, you know, lieutenants and sergeants. We didn't have any captains apply. And, you know, I will say that her vision, her ideas of enhancements were something that stood out. Her ability to have a tangible ability to say, hey, this is what I did on the military side. This is what I've done on the police side. This is what I've done as a civilian in Brockton, merging those, I think is extremely important. Her disposition, her attitude, her willingness to work with me. I've worked with her on many occasions as counselor at large, as city councilor, and now as mayor. So I'm excited, really excited about having her leading the department. And again, the other individuals that applied, I applaud each and every one of them. I know they're disappointed, but they are just really dedicated public servants, and I applaud them all.
Yeah, and you also mentioned about the public safety complex. Where do things stand on the new complex these days?
Yeah, so we have the bonding authorization of $98 million. We have a consultant group that's been working over a year now with us. We have the location, right? The old high school, which is the Keith Center. Mm-hmm. We actually have done some friendly taking. So we acquired three residential properties, the city did. So now we are a city block now. We're going from Highland Street, which is across from Legion Parkway, all the way down to West Elm Street. That's where the $98 million property is going to be. We're going to be able to free up classroom space at Brockton High School because IT, informational technology, will leave Brockton High. That's where they're stationed now. They're going to come to the new building. It's just a win-win. It really is. So, you know, we're on track right now. I will say that because of COVID, there's a lot of delay on supplies and stuff like that. But, you know, working with our procurement officer, Mike Morris, because, again, we want to make sure we have the right people on the project. And we're going through all the legalese that needs to be done in a proper public development process. So I'm excited about it, Kevin. You know, I it's a long time coming. If you think back, the Pleasant Street Fire Station that's utilized as I speak to you right now was actually wired by Thomas Edison. It was for horse-drawn carriages, and the brave men and women are working there. They don't complain. So we'll be able to take that offline. My goal is to make that a historic museum. It really is a piece of history. But there's really a lot of good things coming, and it piggybacks on the idea right now, Kevin, is, you know, we have the transit oriented, you know, three commuter stops in Brockton. You get in the cell station at 35 minutes. Developers are coming here, not just from Massachusetts, but throughout the nation. And when you talk about a $98 million public safety building that was supported unanimously by the 11 city councilors, that speaks volumes. So I applaud all the local elected officials for supporting this. And, you know, that whole area is going to be cleaned up. And, you know, it's Frederick Douglass Way. You go down Frederick Douglass, of course, Brockton Beer, which will be the first Black-owned brewery in the Commonwealth that's going to open up in short order. And, you know, there's some exciting times going on right now.
Yeah, it's a nice segue in regards to development in the downtown corridor. The this public safety complex, just another puzzle piece in the ongoing redevelopment of the downtown corridor. Let's talk a little bit about another piece of property that's going to be redeveloped, a special piece of property. We're talking about the former Ward Street Gym. The one-time home of the world champion boxing triangle, that's what I call it, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, not to mention Pat and Goody Petronelli. Of course, it's called Petronelli Way. Talk to us about a groundbreaking that just took place.
Yeah, last week, a gentleman named Ted Carman, who owns a real estate development company called Concord Square Planning and Development. He also is doing a project on 93 Center Street right now in Brockton as well. So he is a veteran in terms of real estate development in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And, you know, he was able to acquire the old Petronelli Gym. Back in the day, it was the Abstinence Society, St. Patrick Abstinence Society. It's a historic building right across the street from the new parking garage named after the late Mayor Bill Carpenter. And I want to give a shout out to State Representative Jerry Cassidy. Jerry was able to get $150,000 in the last budget for a statue. I've created a statue committee, and the statue is going to be designated for Marvelous Marvin Hagler. So it will be a stone's throw away from this property that's going to be high-end apartments. We're also going to be able to use, I've already committed some ARPA money for a pocket park, a little park right there where the statue is going to be. City Council designated a new street that's going to be created off of that, which is Marvelous Marvin Hagler Way. And again, you know, the fact is we did the groundbreaking the other day, and May Lang, who is Marvelous Marvin's mom, was there, and Veronica, his sister, were there. And, you know, Marvelous Marvin Hagler is one of the champions from the City of Champions. And there were some other champions that fought out of Petronelli Gym. Rockin' Robbie Sims, Marvin's half-brother, he beat Roberto Duran. And we had Stevie Collins, who was an Irish champion. We had Kevin McBride, heavyweight. You know, he fought Tyson. So there was a lot of really distinguished fighters that fought out of that gym. And thanks to Ted Carman's creativity, you know, it's not going to be ripped down. You know, a lot of people are saying we can't save that, rip it down. But Ted was creative. And, you know, I do want to give a shout out to Stephen Lynch. Congressman Lynch helped us. And also Secretary of Labor Marty Walsh helped us as well, because there was an easement that we needed from the Department of Labor. So, you know, there's some really good things happening right now. You walk right down the street, you jump on the train, Kevin. So, you know this area extremely well from your years of working, you know, right up the street on the Enterprise Building. And, you know, one thing that Brockton is right now is ripe for development in the core of the city. We have all the tools in the toolbox, right? The Smart World Zoning, the historic tax credits, the TIES, the TIFs, everything, right? And we use those in a manner that is really the biggest bang for the buck. So, if you are listening to this and you are a developer, give us a call. Call my office, 508-580-7123. I'm meeting with developers every other day, sometimes daily, to talk about the story of Brockton. There's so many other areas that are ripe for development in the city because we have those three train stops, Campello, Montello, and downtown, Kevin. So the greatest thing was when May Lang, when Marvin's mom was there, Ted surprised her. We were able to gift her a pair of Marvin's gloves that were found in the gym.
Wow.
You know, and the ring is still there. He's going to preserve that. So I'm a boxing fan. So to walk through that, it's just amazing. And I remember as a kid seeing Marvin, you know, around town and running around town. And he did some exhibitions that I saw at Massasoit. And he also did one at Brockton High in the gym. And, you know, he was our champion, but he was the people's champion. And of course, when we lost him suddenly, you know, last summer, Kevin, you know, we had a wonderful celebration for Marvelous Marvin, and a lot of boxing dignitaries came back to Brockton, right? Tommy Hitman Hearns came here with his kids on his own dime, just surprised us all. And Bernard Hopkins was here. And so, again, people don't forget Marvelous Marvin Hagler. And here in Brockton, we're going to make sure that that statue goes up and people will visit and learn about the champ.
Again, if you're just tuning in, we got a few more minutes with Brockton Mayor Robert Sullivan, who is joining us as he gives us a regular in-depth update as to what's going on in the City of Champions. Kind of staying on the vein of development in the city. Did I hear something in regards to the Mainspring or any other parts of the downtown area that may be redeveloped or in the works?
Yeah. So again, as a councilor at large for 14 years and as the council president of five of those years, you know, I would always hear from developers saying, hey, you know, what's going on in the core of the city? There's a lot of people facing homelessness. And when I became mayor, forged a really good relationship with Father Bill's Mainspring and John Yuzinski, who's the CEO over there. And, you know, we worked together with DPH because we knew that COVID was going to spread like wildfire in the homeless population. So we were able to depopulate by utilizing tents that were given to us by the state in Perkins Park, which directly abuts the Mainspring House downtown Brockton. There's a law called McKenty-Vento. It's a federal law that allows for expansion of homeless services. A piece of property owned by the federal government up on Manley Street, which is on the backside of the VA hospital. The VA is on Belmont Street, Route 123. The old Army recruiting barracks was up for the ability to acquire. And as mayor, I want to acquire it and maybe make it a DPW site because a DPW site needs to be pivoted, to say the least. But I found that, again, homeless population folks would trump the city. So I worked with John and I said, I'll support this move, John. Absolutely. It's going to be a campus setting. It's going to be wraparound services. It's really going to be a win-win. They also own the old Hotel Bryant, which is the Roadway Inn across the street. Father Bill's owns that right now. And Lieutenant Governor Polito took a tour of that with me recently. So, Kevin, what the plan is right now is that Father Bill's will leave downtown. You know, I'm not going to say it's going to happen tomorrow, but it will happen. And they're going to go up to this new, really great campus setting, which provides the services that are long overdue and enhanced services, which is key. And as a result of that, I'm working right now with Father Bill's for Brockton, the city of Brockton. They have the first right of refusal to acquire that property downtown. So we're going to be able to acquire that. We're going to be able to, you know, have those facing homelessness get the needs satisfied with all their services. Again, alcohol abuse, mental health issue, drug abuse. You know, a lot of people lost houses in foreclosure epidemic and they're on the streets. A lot of them are veterans, too. And we always have to be thankful for our vets. So, you know, we are going to be able to transform the downtown area, Kevin. And I do want to thank Father Bill's Mainspring for what they do here in Brockton. They also do yeoman's work in the city of Quincy as well.
So what becomes of that facility on the corner of Main and Spring? Is that going to be something that the city acquires or are they going to do something else with that?
No, the city will acquire it. You know, we will probably then have BRA, the Brockton Redevelopment Authority, work with us on that. You know, I'm not sure the condition of the building. Some people say it's a rip down. Some people say maybe it's a rehab. I don't know. But I will tell you that it will beautify that area. We're also going to be able to simultaneously beautify Perkins Park as well, clean up that area, because development is happening in Brockton. And I want to be able to have the parks and the playgrounds. I've already committed to the city council. I went and appeared before them personally and told them that the seven wards in the city of Brockton will benefit from ARPA. I've made a pledge that the parks and playgrounds in the city of Brockton will be rehabbed using ARPA money. It's the right thing to do for the community and, more importantly, the youth of Brockton. So, you know, there's good things happening in the city real time and then in the future. And again, if you don't think down the line, you'll be shortchanging yourself. So that's one thing that I'm really trying to do, Kevin. I was just reelected again, as you know, sworn in January with 2 year mayors here in Brockton. So got a lot of work to do, but we're going to get through it. And the biggest thing is doing it together.
As we get ready to wrap up and knowing that the spring and summer are ahead, what are you excited and what are you looking forward to as a mayor as we start? As it seems as though, you know, where COVID is kind of on the downside and warmer weather is ahead and maybe folks are getting together.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited, first of all, as a dad to be able to go to my kids' soccer games, tennis matches and baseball games. As a dad, that's something I'm excited about doing. My wife and I coached basketball this year. We didn't do so well, but nonetheless, it's about giving back to the community. And sure. So as a father, that's what I'm really excited about, spending some family time, getting back to normal, right? But as the mayor, I'm really excited about having the opportunity to see kids outside exercising in the playgrounds and, You know, we have the summer program sponsored by the mayor's office, Get Ready, sponsored by Brockton Public Schools. So I'm excited about having the opportunity to be able to do things inside and outside and really kind of get back to a sense of normalcy. Again, we'll never forget about COVID because it's not over. But with that being said, to maximize outdoor activities, I'm going to play a round of golf this year, finally at DW. I haven't played around in a while. So, you know, there's things, Kevin, you know, to really cherish, but also don't take your eyes off the prize. And right now the prize is Brockton's on the map for developers. And I want to continue to showcase what a special place it is. Had 21 mayors come down and visit 2 weeks ago. I hosted the MMA conference, had 21 mayors from throughout Massachusetts come here, and they all walked away with a different impression of really what Brockton is, you know, and that's what my job is, to be the biggest cheerleader for the City of Champions and all the great people that live and work here.
Yeah, definitely. And also seeing the downtown becoming thriving, you know, a place for folks, that a destination for folks to want to come and visit.
That's right. That's right. And when that Brockton beer opens, I'm buying you the first beer, Mr. Tachi.
Now, do they have like a special beer for you yet? Do they have like, you know, Sully's Suds or something?
I think they have Tachi Hops. It's a double IPA, the Tachi Hops, you know. So we'll try that. We'll see what's going on.
That's awesome. Well, Mayor, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to join us and to provide an update. And we look forward to talking to you more down the road, not only as a guest, but also as the co-host of Monday Night Talk.
Absolutely. Can't wait to come in live in person. Have a good night. Thanks, Kevin.
You got it. All right, we're going to step aside. And when we come back, more Monday Night Talk in just a moment. Stay tuned.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Each year, about one out of two men and one out of three women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced Cancer Care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical Faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
Hi, my name is Alex Bazantin, and I'm running for Plymouth County Commissioner. I am the former chairman of the Abington Conservation Commission, former Abington Water Commissioner, and now serving in my second term as Abington Selectman. I am currently serving on the Executive Board of the Plymouth County Advisory Board. If you would like to learn more about my candidacy, please visit my website at alexbazantin.org or follow me on Facebook. I am Alex Bazantin for Plymouth County Commissioner, and I approve this message.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9watd.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Okay, we return for the final segment of Monday Night Talk, heard right here at 95.9watd. Thank you so much for keeping your radio dial set right there. Hopefully, this, of course, is the best segment of all of them. I think each one are unique unto themselves. We have a great conversation as we are going to be speaking with a good friend, Victoria Bond, and joining us, an individual he's been on before.
Yeah.
And his dad has been on previously. We have Scotty Kippenhin. He is going to be joining us as we're here. We're going to talk a little bit about an upcoming production called Auntie Mame. This is a production that is actually going to be done. It's going to be two local theater companies that are joining forces to bring this to the stage this May. Victoria, Scott, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we get into and talk about the meat and potatoes of the production, knowing that you both are performers, I'm sure. Did you hear the news in regards to the Academy Awards and Will Smith?
Yes, I did. All we heard.
And so as folks have been talking about since it happened, the slap that's been heard around the world, that is where Will Smith had an issue with a joke that Chris Rock said and actually approached him on stage live TV and actually slapped him. And kudos to Chris for having a chin. But since then, a lot has happened. A lot of people have formed opinions. And Will Smith, I guess he had rescinded his membership with the Academy. And late last week, the Academy actually rendered a decision that he is banned from the Academy, whether it's the award show, whether it's the luncheon, all the screenings. We'll start with you, Victoria, being a veteran as an actor. What is your thought as to some of the things that we see going on in Hollywood these days?
Well, I think it was a terribly unfortunate thing that happened. Chris Rock may have made a joke that was cruel or inappropriate, but it's their words. That's all they are. They're words. And they don't really hurt. You know, Will Smith certainly should not have done what he did. It's never appropriate to lay your hands on somebody else just because you don't like what they're saying. Particularly in this day and age, I think we ought to try and be a little more moderate, maybe, in our response to things. So it was unfortunate. He let emotions carry him away, and I'm sure he regrets it. I'm sure he does. I understand why the Academy made the decision they made. I feel like they kind of, it became such a hoopla. They had to do something. But all the way around, an unfortunate event, and it shouldn't have occurred.
Now, Scott, now how old are you, Scott?
I'm 13.
13. Now, is this something that anybody in your age group is talking about? Does it matter to 13, 14 year olds that something like this happened between a couple of stars in Hollywood?
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's just like something, I don't know how to explain it. It's just like,
Are you more of a Will Smith fan, or are you more of a Chris Rock fan, or is it a matter? It doesn't matter. It's just the incident that takes place is something that is maybe a bad example for the next generation.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Will Smith because you can't do that. Like, you can't go up on stage in front of so many people and just slap someone. You know, it's not right.
Now, do you think that the Academy should take his Oscar away, or do you think that they've punished him enough by banning him from coming to the shows and even being nominated?
No, I mean, they made their decision, and he did that movie, and I just think he should keep the award. He can't do that, you know.
Good sentiment. What do you think, Victoria? Should they take away the statue?
I don't know. I don't know that it would make that much of a difference, and I'm not sure what it would accomplish if they did. If, you know, his performance garnered him an award, then he should keep the award. Was his behavior reprehensible? Sure, it was. But clearly he's paying a price for that. I do wish he had not gotten up there and said, oh, art imitates life. I just don't even know what he was thinking about. But, I think, honestly, we've probably spent, as a country, too much time talking about it to begin with. You know what I mean? So, I don't think they should take the award away. You know, I think enough's enough.
Yeah. Again, knowing that I was talking to a couple of actors, I thought I would at least posing knowing that it's kind of fresh news that it just happened a couple of days ago. Let's talk about the production at hand here. We have a performance that's taking place, and not only is it about a performance that's taking place, but it's actually doing good. It's actually going to help out a local organization, a local hospital. If you will, Victoria, give us the details as to how this came to be, Auntie Maine, and who it's going to help.
Well, okay. So Auntie Mame is, for those who don't know the show, Auntie Mame was written in the 50s. It actually is a book, and it became a play in the 50s. And the play was on Broadway, starring Rosalind Russell, and did very well. And they then made it a movie, again, starring Rosalind Russell. Huge hit. And then they made it into a musical, and it was on Broadway again as a musical. And then they made the musical into a movie, you know, starring Lucille Ball. So it's had a long, sort of lifespan as a play. It is something that my mother and I used to watch all the time together. The Rosalind Russell version, not the Lucille Ball. For those people that are, you know, deep into Auntie Mame, that's usually a big source of conflict. Is it the musical or is it the play? And which is better? For us, it's the play, and it was the Rosalind Russell version. And we used to watch it together all the time. My mother was always my biggest supporter. You know, I had a theater company, Rogue Theater Company, and she used to donate all the time. And she used to always say, well, when are you going to play Auntie Mame? And every donation that she sent every year in the card, she would write, for the future Auntie Mame. So she was waiting for me to do that show. Unfortunately, she passed away in 2020 before I could do the show. So I thought, well, let me do the play now. And it's a way to thank the people that took care of her at Beth Israel Deaconess Plymouth. They were great and they took great care of her. My mother suffered from frontal temporal dementia, which if you don't know what that is, it's a dementia that sort of affects the frontal lobe of the brain, which is where our personality lives. So what it does in effect is it deeply changes the person's personality. They don't necessarily forget things. They can over time, but it really changes just the substance of their personality. And that's what happened with my mother. But as I said, the folks at BID in Plymouth, she was in the geriatric care, senior behavioral health center, actually is what it's called, at, Beth Israel Deaconess. And, so when she passed, I decided that it was a great way to sort of, celebrate her life and celebrate her. And at the same time, thank the people that took such good care of her. So $5 of every ticket is going to be going to that unit that she was at, the Senior Behavioral Health Center, at BID. And, you know, one of the reasons we never did the show, is because it's a huge show.
Mm.
It's, originally written, it was written for 42 actors, 42 characters. Goodness. So, and it's a, you know, it's a huge set. Anybody that knows the show, Auntie Mame's got this magnificent apartment and she's always redecorating it. And, you know, they go various places and locations in the play. So it's a tough show to do. It's an expensive show to do. And when I decided that I wanted to do it, I talked with, Donald Sheehan over at, True Repertory Theater. And we talked about, you know, kind of going in on it together because maybe pooling resources would be helpful. And it has been. Now we've sort of reimagined it a bit and pared it down so that it's not quite so large. You know, we don't have 42 actors on stage. We only have 13. But you know, everybody's playing multiple roles. We're being a little creative with the set. And, so we're having a ball really, stage in the show. It's a funny, funny show. Auntie Mame is a madcap kind of a character, very eccentric, and she loves life. And that's really the message of the show, is to embrace life, to love it, and to, you know, savor every moment of it. And that also just seems like a really appropriate kind of a message, particularly now coming out of what we're coming out of. So.
If you tell me about casting, some of the folks who have been cast, and if you could find a way to segue into Scotty's role in sure. in this Auntie Mame, sure. That would be fantastic.
Sure. So we've got just the cast includes so obviously myself, I'll be playing Auntie Mame, Peyton St. James, who is a fairly well known drag queen, actually, who's going to be playing Vera Charles. Chris Bailey, who's from Plymouth. Obviously, Donald Sheehan, who is the artistic director of True Repertory Theater Company. Lisa Beausoleil from Middleborough. Paul Noonan, who's the associate artistic director at True Rep. Andy Reel. Meredith Johnson, who's from North Attleboro. Scotty Kippenham, who's with us today. And by the way, we are so glad to find Scotty. I'll finish naming the cast and then I'll tell you why we're so glad to find Scotty.
Okay.
Julie Butler from Pembroke, Jim Sullivan from Braintree, Mark Reed from Hull, Olivia Foley from Quincy, and Anthea Diamond from Kingston will be stage managing. But yeah, it's a tough show because, you know, one of the bigger characters in the play is this young boy, Patrick. This is Auntie Mame's nephew. His father passes away and he's sent to live with his Auntie Mame in New York City. So we really needed to find a very strong child actor. And that's not always the easiest thing to do. And then lo and behold, Donald Sheehan is friendly with Scotty's parents and asked them if Scotty might be interested. And he came in and he read, and the minute he opened his mouth, I went, "Oh, there's our Patrick."
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no, he blew us away. He's a very talented young actor. So I'm so thrilled that he's joined the cast. And I know that he's going to help to make it a really great production.
Scotty, could you give us a little bit of a rundown of some of the things that you have done? This isn't your first play, your first performance, your first acting, whether it's in front of an audience or on camera, correct?
Yeah. So, I do a lot of stuff with Cappuccione and Massasoit.
Wow.
I've done Matilda, A Christmas Story. I've done School of Rock. I've done, Adam's Family. And I'm going to be in Little Shop of Horrors soon, this summer. And I do my dad's videos, I guess. But I'm so thankful to be in like so many of these shows and have opportunities to like, because it like it's so fun for me to do these plays, and I'm so thankful.
Now, have you seen your parents performing? Whether it's your mom or your dad, I mean, are they, other than being on camera, have you ever seen them in any performances?
Well, I've seen I was in A Christmas Story with my dad, and I did see him in Spelling Bee, and I don't know. I haven't seen I've really just seen my dad.
Little known secret, and I know Dad's coaching you from behind the microphone over there. And that's okay. But I will tell you is that how I met your dad was on stage. Your dad actually, dad and I actually did many, many moon ago, performed in Annie. It was done at Massasoit. And really? Your father was a fantastic, he was probably the star of the show. You know, you would think that Annie would be, but he had a phenomenal presence. So, you know, you're chip off the old block per se, I would think. And you're going to Cappuccione, Performing Arts is one of the best performing arts schools probably in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So you couldn't find a better school.
Yeah.
All right. Lost words. I like that. Well, so I'm going to ask you, let me ask you another question. And that is so.
You've got an impressive resume.
He does have a impressive, yeah.
For a 13-year-old kid, you've got a very impressive resume.
Thank you.
When you were offered this part to play this role, I mean, what came to mind immediately? What do you see for challenges in this particular role, Scotty?
I was the only kid, and I've never done a show with just adults, and I always want to sometimes, try something new. And, I thought this would be something new to do for me in theater. And I was very excited when I heard I was excited. I don't know.
He is Scottie Kippenham, and joining me also is Victoria Bond, and we are talking a little bit about Auntie Mame. Now, just so you know, this is going to be this is two theater companies, local theater companies that are teaming up. Victoria, of course, so she is the president of Rogue Theater Company. And, of course, you mentioned Donald Sheehan, who both of them have been on this radio program repeatedly. Of course, Donald, who is the founder and artistic director of the True Repertory Theater. This is going to be taking place at the Beale House, 222 Main Street in Kingston. And this is going to be for two sets of Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays coming up in May, May 13th, 14th, and 15th. And then the 20th, 21st, and 22nd, I believe the Sundays, Victoria, are matinees.
Yes, they are. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock performances. Yep.
So if you will, what has it been like trying to get everybody, pulling everybody together? You get your cast. How are things going so far?
I will say it's we are plugging along. It's tough because it is a larger cast. Most plays are not. Nearly, even with 13 actors cast, that's an incredibly large cast these days. Most plays tend to be much smaller. So it's a challenge. And John Beausoleil, who is one of the founding members of Rogue, is actually coming back and directing this show. And so, you know, kudos to John because he's doing his best to sort of deal with a lot of different schedules, and we're trying to piecemeal, you know, rehearsal time together. And you know, the biggest thing that I can say is that everybody seems to be really having a lot of fun when they are in rehearsal. They seem to be really enjoying themselves, and that's what we want. You know, that's really what it's about at this point. It's just, let's everybody get together and have a good time. And so far we are, so that's great.
In regards to the space itself, do you feel that the space is sufficient? The Beale House, you've talked about how elaborate, you know, the original production was. You know, is this space that you have, is it going to do the job?
Well, I think it will. I do. You know, we had toyed with the idea of trying to find an alternate space. And I have to say it was pretty difficult. There really isn't much out there. And, you know, and not for any reason other than, you know, there were some conflicts in the scheduling with the Beale House. But we are steadfast and true. And I do think there's a lot to the space that I think is really going to make that can work. And, you know, fortunately, John Beausoleil is very good about sort of imagining things. And, you know, we're going to be able to use various parts of the room. And he's got some ideas for, you know, sort of set and creating some things. And I do think it'll work, actually. I think the more that we rehearse in the space, the more I think, you know what, this is absolutely where we should be. You know, I think it is absolutely the right space for Auntie Mame. And the Beale House has been, you know, great to True Rep. And, you know, I know he's enjoyed being there, and I've enjoyed being there when I've been there. So, I think it's going to be a very exciting, you know, one of the things that Donald Sheehan does so well with True Rep in that space is he uses it differently every time. So every time people go to see a True Rep show, they're situated in a different way. He's imagined the space in a different way. And this production actually is an extension of that. This is the same thing. It's really going to be a reimagining of the space, and people will see the space in a way that they really haven't seen it before. So I think it's going to be great. I do.
I'm going to ask each of you to give me your thought on your particular character. And we'll start with you, Victoria. Talk to me about Auntie Mame. That's the lead role. For folks who don't know who she is, give me your understanding as to who she is and who she is in this performance.
She's, words that come to mind when you think of Auntie Mame are eccentric, madcap, a little zany. She's somebody who has a tremendous gusto and love of life. And, you know, one of the lines in the show is, life's a banquet and most poor suckers are starving to death. She believes in grabbing life with both hands and eating it completely, you know, devouring it. And she, you know, she's somebody though who's living on her own. She's got, you know, she's very well off. She's well healed, but she doesn't have any children of her own. And when Patrick, her nephew, comes into her life, I think it changes her and it kind of opens her heart in a way. And she, you know, really falls madly in love with Patrick. And, you know, she does her level best to open doors for him and to widen the world for him. So.
Scotty, if you will, give me your take on your character, Patrick, and not only his character, but the situation that he's in.
Yeah, so he, his father died. And so they take him to his Auntie Mame. And he really has a connection with Auntie Mame. And he really... He just loves her so much, and he really cares about her. And they get in all these situations, and Patrick's always there for Auntie Mame, and Auntie Mame's always there for him. And it's really just about their relationship they have together. And, you know, they just, I don't know, it's just, and he just gets, I don't know, I'm trying.
It's okay.
It's really about the relationship he has with his Auntie Mame. Okay. And,
Yeah. And I think, you know, Auntie Mame kind of, you get the impression that Patrick had a certain type of a relationship with his father, which was sort of very... parent-child, and with Auntie Mame, the relationship is different. She kind of embraces him in a different way and sort of treats him more like a, maybe a little bit like a little adult or something. You know, she's not so worried about opening, you know, exposing him to new and different kinds of things, you know.
Well, we have a couple of minutes left here, but my understanding is that we, the audience here, Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD is actually going to get a little bit of an appetizer of Auntie Mame and the relationship between Auntie Mame and Patrick. Are we not?
Yes, we are. We are. We're going to do one part of a scene from Auntie Mame. It's early on in their relationship. It's the first night that she and Patrick meet, and Patrick has come to her house, and she's having a big, mad, wild, crazy party. And she's given him a pad of paper and a pencil. He can write down any words he doesn't understand. So he's floated about the party, and now the party's over, and the two of them are going to have a little scene together.
Okay, so here we go. Victoria Bond, Scotty Kippenham, and they're doing Auntie Mame.
Now, let's sit down for 1 minute and really get to know each other. What did you think of the conversation at the party?
Some of it was a little over my head.
Oh, good heavens, child. Didn't your father ever talk to you?
Hardly ever. I only saw him at breakfast time.
Well, what did he say then?
He usually said, "Pipe down, kid. The old man's hung."
Amen. Well, what did you do in Chicago for fun?
Well, Nora took me to the movies every Saturday afternoon, and I played Parcheesi with the doorman once in a while, until he got fired.
Oh, dear, didn't they ever do anything cultural for you in Chicago? Oh, well, never mind. Oh, your Auntie Mame is going to open doors for you, Patrick, doors you never dreamed existed. Oh, what times we're going to have. Now, what on earth did I do with that will? It's here someplace. 5 pounds of beluga caviar, get hair done. Well, this can't be it. Oh, no, yes, this is it. Oh, your father says you're to be reared as a Protestant. Well, I've no objection to that. Well, though it would be a shame to deprive you of the exquisite mysteries of the Eastern religions. Where did you go to church, darling?
The Fourth Presbyterian.
You mean to say that there are 4 Presbyterian churches in a place like Chicago? Well, no matter. I guess we can scrounge around and find some sort of a Presbyterian church in the neighborhood. Now, there's a lot of follow-all here about the Knickerbocker Bank and some Mr. Babcock who's been appointed your trustee. Oh, well, I see what that means. I have the responsibility and your trustee has the authority.
I saw a movie once about a trustee.
Oh?
There was a big prison break, and the trustee saved the warden's daughter.
Well, this isn't the kind of trustee that lives in a prison, dear, as a rule. Well, we'll tackle him in our own good time. Now, tell me, Patrick, Is your Auntie Mame anything like you expected?
No, ma'am. The only picture I ever saw of you was with a shawl and a rose between your teeth, like a Spanish lady. It's in my suitcase that's coming.
But didn't your father ever say anything, tell you anything about me before he died?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, what was it? Oh, come now, my little love. You must always be perfectly frank with your Auntie Mame.
Well, my father said, since you're my only living relative, beggars can't be choosers. But to be left in your hands was a fate he wouldn't wish on a dog.
That bastard! Oh, that word, dear, was bastard. B-A-S-T-A-R-D. And it means your late father.
Bravo. You had a little snippet of Auntie Mame, which is going to be taking place at the Beale House, 222 Main Street in Kingston, May 13th, 14th, and 15th, as well as the 20th, 21st, and 22nd, two weekends of Fridays, and you have Sunday matinees. Just a quick note, tickets are $25, general admission, $22 for seniors and students. You can either purchase the tickets at the door or through the True Rep website, www.TRUE Rep Theater.com. Well, I want to thank both of you for joining me. Anything in closing as we say goodnight for the evening?
I want to thank you for having us on, as always. It's wonderful to have somebody who's supporting the local community theater scene, and you do it to a fare thee well, and we appreciate it.
Scotty, anything you want to say in closing?
No, just thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Well, I hope both of you break a leg, not literally, but in the figurative good luck sense of the word when it comes to theater. And hopefully each night we'll have a full house. So best of luck moving forward. And hopefully we can be in attendance to check out the latest production of Auntie Mame. And again, don't forget, this is going to help out a local hospital. So $5, as Victoria said, will be donated to the unit that cared for her mother. So I thank both of you for joining us. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You have been tuned in to Monday Night Talk here at 95.9 WATD. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great night.